You knew that they were going to use that, and that's great. But I felt it was going to be at the expense of giving up those other kinds of films, so that's what led to Sundance. I thought, well, what if we can start a development process where young artists can have a voice, but we can help them develop their skills so they can at least get their films made. That was the lab that started in 1980. Then, once that happened and we started a development process at Sundance, suddenly realized that we were helping them develop their skills so they could get their films made, but there was nowhere to go because the mainstream had not allowed any space for them. And that led to the idea of a festival. So originally it was just an idea that maybe we can have a community of filmmakers coming together and share each other's work. And maybe if we're lucky, somebody will come. Somebody else will come.
The Oscar-winning director, actor, and activist Robert Redford, speaking on Democracy Now! In one of a number of interviews we did with him at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. That interview in 2015. He died on Tuesday at the age of 89 at his home in Utah. The Sundance Film Festival will be moving after this next year from Park City to Boulder. Robert Redford served for 5 decades as a trustee of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Manish Bapna, president and CEO at NRDC, said, quote, "The environmental movement has lost a giant. Nobody has done more to shine a light on the most important environmental issues from the dawn of the environmental movement in the 1970s through the biodiversity and climate crises of today." Again, Robert Redford, dead at the age of 89, but his legacy continues. You can go to democracynow.org for all of our interviews. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will be held on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m. at Mississippi Studios in North Portland. At the annual meeting, members will have the opportunity to meet candidates running in the board election. Final votes will be cast and counted. The results of the elections will be announced at the end of the meeting. Online voting is open now through the annual meeting at kboo.fm/board25. Paper ballots will be sent to members by mail. Again, that's KBOO's annual meeting and board election on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m. at Mississippi Studios, located at 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/board25.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are feeling sad, struggling with alcohol or drug use, or just need someone to talk to. Trained counselors are able to listen and provide support 24/7. Confidential support available by text or phone call to 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on this fall membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the Department of Justice sues Oregon for its voter information.
Portland institutes a hiring freeze amid a new budget shortfall.
And Western states issue new COVID vaccine guidance.
Good evening. This is the KABU Evening News for Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. KABU is currently in our fall membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by going online to kboo.fm/give. I'm Anna Wilcox.
And I'm Terrence Burns. The U.S. Department of Justice is suing Oregon and the Secretary of State, saying they have violated federal law by not sharing voter information and how the list is maintained. It also sued the state of Maine and its Secretary of State. Assistant Attorney General Harmeet K. Dillon said in a statement, quote, "States simply cannot pick and choose which federal laws they will comply with, including our voting laws, which ensure that all American citizens have equal access to the ballot in federal elections," end quote. Trump has long made claims about widespread voter fraud without supplying any evidence that it has occurred. In August, the administration sent requests to the Secretary of State's office asking Oregon to provide voter information and prove that it is taking steps to find and remove ineligible voters. Some of the information the government sought was sensitive, including a list of elections officials, registered voters, and the names of voting history of people who had been deemed ineligible to vote. Oregon's Secretary of State, Tobias Reed, declined the request, saying he would only provide information that was legally required. Reed said, quote, "If the president wants to use the DOJ to go after his political opponents and undermine our elections, I look forward to seeing them in court. I stand by my oath to the people of Oregon, and I will protect their rights and privacy," end quote. The administration alleges Oregon violated multiple federal laws, the National Voter Registration Act, the Help America Vote Act, and the Civil Rights Act of 1960. The major concern is that the Justice Department could be planning to compare that data with information held by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to carry out criminal and immigration investigations. Trump also recently pledged to end mail-in voting everywhere in the United States, asserting without evidence that it leads to voter fraud. Oregon has used the system for decades without any instances of widespread abuse.
The city of Portland will freeze its hiring beginning October 1st. City Administrator Michael Jordan announced the freeze in an email to city managers earlier today. The freeze is a response to a budget shortfall. The city currently faces a $16 million budget shortfall, on top of the one resolved earlier this year. The Oregonian reports that the city received less business tax revenue last year than originally forecasted, incurring a $12 million short. Jordan said that a, quote, "large legal settlement was among other unexpected payments." City Council approved an $8.5 million settlement to descendants of black families forcibly displaced from the Central Albina neighborhood by the development of the Emanuel Legacy Medical Center in the 1950s through the 1970s. The Oregon Law Center previously highlighted words from Connie Mack, a plaintiff in the lawsuit, quote, "That home was our foundation, and the sense of community in that neighborhood is what made us thrive." The settlement received unanimous approval from city councilors. Jordan also said the hiring freeze will, quote, "exclude critical safety positions like police, fire, and 911. OPP reports that the shortfall will affect the city's discretionary general fund. The fund pays for a variety of services like parks, community and small business support, and police.
Oregon and other West Coast states have come together to update COVID-19 vaccine guidance. The governors from Oregon and other West Coast states formed the West Coast Health Alliance in response to concerns over politicization of the CDC. In their statement, the governors said, quote, "Our states are united in putting science, safety, and transparency first, and in protecting families with clear, credible vaccine guidance. New recommendations include any adults ages 18 to 64 are eligible to receive the vaccine, especially those in close contact with others who have risk factors." The guidelines state that anyone with risk factors for severe COVID-19 infection updated 2025-26 COVID vaccine. This guidance includes age, underlying medical conditions, older adults, and people living in group home environments. Oregon's Governor Tina Kotek expressed frustration with the federal rollout and is seeking a better solution. Washington State has stepped up, among other things, requiring that insurers cover the cost of the short. Oregon's Health Authority Director Sial Hathi stated, quote, "Every family who wants protection during the respiratory virus season should be able to get that safely, simply, and affordably."
Neighbors in Boardman, Oregon, are pushing for their voices to be heard as Morrow County decides whether or not to connect people with wells polluted by nitrates to city water. Groundwater in the area has been polluted from agricultural fertilizers and industrial wastewater for decades, poisoning local wells. Isabel Charlet reports.
Residents in Boardman, Oregon, have banded together to form a new group, West Glen United, which is focused on making their community's voice heard as officials explore solutions to the region's nitrate pollution problem. A report from January shows about 40% of tested wells in the area exceed safe nitrate levels from agricultural fertilizers and industrial wastewater, leaving them undrinkable. Boardman resident Jim Klipfel helped form the new community group. He says Morrow County has been delivering bottled water to residents and is moving ahead with plans to connect well users to city water.
We like our independence with our wells, so we're not real keen on having something shoved down our throat. We want to be part of the discussion and be at the table to help make the ultimate decision of how the solution is going to come about.
Studies show nitrate levels as low as 3 to 5 milligrams per liter are linked to serious long-term health issues, including cancer. Klipfel's well tests at about 60 milligrams per liter. He says many residents report health problems after unknowingly drinking the contaminated water for years. West Glen United members say they don't want to start paying for city water after they already paid to drill a well. Klipfel says he's concerned about a lack of engagement for a solution in the short as well as long term.
They bring out city water, they hook it all up, everything's peachy keen. What then? The ultimate goal is to clean the aquifer where our wells are no longer going to be poisoned, but there's no talk of how that's being accomplished.
Morrow County is working with residents now, says Klipfel. He hopes the group will be able to make a decision about how to move forward as a community prior to the next public meeting. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
The Federal Reserve is lowering interest rates 0.25%, the first rate cut since last December. It'll go from 4.25 to 4%. Officials indicated that two or more rate cuts could happen this year, going down another 0.5%, a percentage point. In its policy statement, the Fed said that its views on labor market had changed and that the, quote, downside risks to employment have risen. Inflation began rising over the summer and is expected to keep doing so as a result of Trump's tariffs. Jobs growth has sharply slowed, with the monthly gains averaging just 29,000 over the three-month period that ended in August. Compare that to May, when the average stood around 130,000 positions, over four times higher. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said, quote, "There are no risk-free paths now. It is not incredibly obvious what to do," end quote.
A recent YouGov poll for the campaign finance reform nonprofit Issue One shows that a strong majority of Americans support the federal government system of checks and balances. Of the 1,000 registered voters polled, 78% support the congressional oversight. Support congressional oversight. 68% support Congress's power of the purse, and 70% support judicial review. Asked if Trump is going too far in his use of power, 59% of all respondents said yes, including 95% of Democrats, 79% of independents, and 21% of Republicans. Issue One founder and CEO Nick Peniman said, quote, "Our Constitution was designed to prevent any one president from acting like a king." He continued, quote, "But if our country keeps heading down this path, power will keep concentrating in the White House, and a representative government that is by and for the American people will be replaced with a government that only serves the president and those connected to him," end quote.
Ohio and Missouri battle over redistricting in a fight for congressional advantage. Prosecutors seek the death penalty in the Charlie Kirk killing, and FBI Director Kesh Patel faces criticism for politicizing the agency. With more on that story, it's Farah Siddiqui with the 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
People who literally go to the same churches, go to the same grocery stores, go to the same hospitals, do not have the same representatives.
Rural pastor Terry Williams says the gerrymandering of Ohio's congressional maps would fracture representation for clearly defined communities and erode trust in government. Ohio voters approved reforms in 2018, but the state must redraw its districts again after courts found the last map unconstitutional. That process is being complicated by a nationwide mid-decade fight for congressional advantage that started in Texas. Groups in Missouri want to force a partisan map there to get voter approval before it would go into effect. That proposal would break into three parts the district of a Black Democrat who has represented Kansas City for decades. A judge in New York City has tossed terrorism charges against Luigi Mangione, the man accused of killing the CEO of United Healthcare. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for Tyler Robinson, who allegedly confessed to shooting conservative activist Charlie Kirk in text messages to his roommate. Jeff Gray is the Utah County attorney.
The roommate looked under the keyboard and found a note that stated, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it."
Court filings say Robinson's mother told investigators her son had recently become more political and leaned left, supporting LGBTQ rights. Democrats accuse the White House of trying to use Kirk's murder to persecute its political opponents, possibly even using criminal and terrorism charges. FBI Director Kesh Patel told senators the investigation now includes more than 20 people tied to online chats. But some accuse Patel of using the agency to pursue the administration's political goals, including hiding President Donald Trump's ties to late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The director pushed back.
That rant of false information does not bring this country together.
Congress faces a tight deadline to fund the government by September 30th. A Republican stopgap bill would extend funding through November and add new money for lawmaker security. Democrats want some of the health care funding cut in the Republican mega bill restored, and some want stronger protections for Congress's power of the purse. Neighborhood groups hope to continue a clean energy program they say will help Indianapolis. Peggy Frame with Southeast Community Services says the Green Jobs Workforce Initiative will help residents get ready for in-demand careers, but she says the federal funding is at risk.
This neighborhood has so much unutilized land and lots of formal industrial and commercial sites. So it would be really great if the neighbors who live in the neighborhood could get training to help make some of those places better.
I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to a fall membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our goal is to raise $45,000 by September 20th. We'd like to remind you that you can renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by going online to kboo.fm/give. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth report on Oregon State Democrats' difficulties passing the transportation bill. Then we'll hear from the author of a new study who uncovered that the actual ingredients sold in some magic mushroom edibles don't match what's on the label. At 6, it's KBOO's Board Candidate Forum. At 6:30, it's Free Culture Radio. Then at 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be partly cloudy with an overnight low of 58 degrees. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 77 degrees. Today in history, in 1849, American abolitionist Harriet Tubman makes her first attempt to escape from slavery alongside her brothers. The brothers had second thoughts, forcing Harriet to return with them. Sometime in October or November, she escaped again to Pennsylvania. The quote of the day is from Tubman, who said, quote, "I had reasoned this out in my mind. There was one of two things I had a right to, liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other."
Hollywood legend Robert Redford has died at the age of 89. Among with many things Redford was known for in his career, he was a champion for the environment and of indigenous rights. With more on that story, it's Brian Bowles with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bowles, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Hollywood legend Robert Redford has died at the age of 89. The longtime actor, producer, and activist passed away Tuesday in his Utah home. Among the many things Redford was known for over his career was championing the environment and indigenous rights. Vincent Schilling, a journalist and CEO of Schilling Media, says the late actor launched many Native careers.
It's no question that Mr. Robert Redford did a lot to help Native people. Look at the Sundance Institute. Native filmmakers, Native actors constantly have posted about the things through Sundance, and he just continued to fight the right fight.
Redford narrated the 1992 documentary Incident at Oglala, which investigated the 1975 murders of two FBI agents in South Dakota, and he was also an executive producer of the AMC mystery series Dark Winds. In the third season premiere, he made a cameo appearance as a jailbird playing chess with another prisoner, played by George R.R. Martin. Lieutenant Joe Leaphorn, played by Zahn McClarnon, watches on.
George, the whole world's waiting. Make a move.
Bishop to King's Rook 5.
Checkmate.
Thanks a lot.
Again, Vincent Schilling.
There is no mistaking what a hit Darkwind is, my gosh. Robert Redford really did quite a bit to enhance the legacy of not just himself as an actor, producer, and a filmmaker, but also the legacy of Native filmmakers and independent artists all over the world. He leaves behind a wonderful legacy.
Native artists, including Zahn McClarnon, Sterling Harjo, and Kiowa Gordon, have all paid tribute to Redford on social media. And South Dakota is a prime candidate for renewable energy developments like solar. However, one group wants to make sure that power and career potential reaches every corner of the state. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
Pine Ridge-based Red Cloud Renewables has just welcomed its fourth wholly indigenous cohort into its pre-ARP, or Apprentice Readyship Program, for the year. After the program, participants are, quote, rooftop ready to install solar panels as a career. Alicia Hayden is the group's communication manager. She explains how the program works.
They learn basically everything there is to know about being a solar installer. They stay with you on campus, so we give them money to get here, we buy them a plane ticket to get here. We give them meals, we provide lodging, so everything is free for the individual. When they leave here, they're ready to enter the workforce.
There's more to it than just helping people find career paths, though.
Separately from our pre-ARP, we run a weatherization program, which allows us to have this whole cache of community members that we know are struggling with their energy bills. And so we select an applicant out of there, and then nearing the end of this, we take the class there to their home, and we actually get the class up on the roof and install these solar panels for them. And it's free to the homeowner as well.
Hayden says the projects actively lower the cost of energy bills for families in need.
Especially on this reservation, there's so much energy hardship, and there's so much sunshine, there's so much open space. When you drive through the reservation, you hardly see any trees, you hardly see anything blocking out the sun. When we install these panels, we see a huge decrease in energy bills on our side of things. There's no better place for a program like this.
This program is funded through grant dollars and public funds. In total, the group plans for 7 pre-ARP programs by the end of the year for 100 total trainees. Information for how to get involved can be found on the Red Cloud Renewables website. For National Native News, I'm CJ Keene in Rapid City.
And I'm Brian Bull.
Volunteers in Washington State will join thousands across the world for annual International Coastal Cleanup this Saturday. Though experts say the amount of plastic in the ocean has reached crisis level, they say beach cleanups do make a difference. Isabel Charlet has the story.
This Saturday, hundreds of thousands of volunteers will gather to help clean up beaches all over the world, including in Washington State, as part of the International Coastal Cleanup. Since 1986, the cleanup has mobilized 18 million volunteers to gather more than 380 million pounds of trash from the world's beaches. Liz Scottman is with Surf Rider Foundation, an organization that leads cleanups in Washington. She's the first to admit we're not going to clean our way out of the plastic pollution problem, but adds beach cleanups are a helpful step.
They remove harmful waste from the beach
So you're saving seals and seagulls and other marine animals that can get entangled or ingest it and get really sick from it. It also prevents all that plastic debris from breaking down into microplastics.
International Coastal Cleanup was founded by the Ocean Conservancy. To join a beach cleanup this Saturday or on other days, people can visit coastsavers.org. Another benefit to coastal cleanup, Scottman says, is that hers and many other organizations collect data on the types and frequencies of trash that people find and use that data to advocate for policy solutions.
So passing bills that limit the use of a lot of these unnecessary single-use plastics is a big part of what we do at Surf Rider, along with many other partners and other orgs.
Ocean Blue Project estimates that the world's oceans contain upwards of 200 million tons of plastic waste, with more being added every year. Scottman says it has reached crisis level, but she does not discount the importance of individual efforts to reduce plastic use and clean what we can.
There are so many people who are doing the right thing. We don't always hear about it, and they're not always the ones in power, unfortunately, but there are good things happening.
For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlotte.
The endangered southern resident orcas population has dwindled, and states are moving to give them more protections. Recently, the state of Oregon approved more protections for the orcas, whose habitat ranges from Washington State down to Monterey, California. Suzanne Potter reports.
Biologists believe there are only 73 endangered southern resident orca left, so advocates are encouraged by recent state-level efforts in Oregon to protect them. The Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission just approved three endangered species management plans to reduce threats to this population of iconic black and white whales, whose habitat ranges from Monterey up to Puget Sound in Washington State. Colin Reynolds is senior advisor for Northwest programs with the nonprofit Defenders of Wildlife, which started petitioning for a state-level endangerment listing 2 years ago.
Over decades, a lot of really devoted scientists, government agencies, and others have really looked into the species and identified what's affecting the species. And a lot of those effects originate on land. So it does really take that all-of-the-above approach.
Southern resident orca feed almost exclusively on Chinook salmon, which are themselves endangered. Salmon are now starting to recover after the California Department of Fish and Wildlife removed four dams on the Klamath River in 2023 and 2024. The state is also moving on multiple fronts to combat pollution and climate change, which is blamed for rising water temperatures that affect both salmon and whales. The Golden State will release a new general state wildlife action plan on October 1st. Reynolds says the orca are also harmed by noise from passing boats and ships.
Southern residents like to communicate to each other, and they also use their senses to sense where fish are. But that can kind of get drowned out when ships are in the area, the churning, the engine noise, propellers, things like that.
The federal government introduced a recovery plan for orca in 2008 and renewed the most recent five-year priority action plan in 2021. The southern resident orca are known to have their own dialects and culture with distinctions between pods. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
91 different Oregon landmarks are slated to get new names, and the public is invited to weigh in. Oregon Geographic Names Board found 91 offensive place names on the books, most of them pretty remote. Earlier this year, the state legislature tasked the board with replacing the names of geographic features with offensive names. These are defined as words that are, quote, insulting and derogatory to any of Oregon's 9 federally recognized Indian tribes or to any race, nationality, or ethnicity. Members of the public can submit a new name for these 91 places through an online form. There is a couple criteria that the name suggestions will need to fit. They don't have to be in English, but they should be, quote, reasonably pronounceable. If they're named for a person, that person must have been dead for at least 5 years and have some connection to the place. And they can't be a duplicate of another place name in the state. The names board will go through suggestions and ultimately propose the changes to the U.S. Board on Geographic Names, which has final say.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael worries about all the worry around.
What's the cure for insecurity? Some people are fearful because they've been battered. Others are fearful because of the violence within them. What if I start a fight and lose? Only love can conquer hate, sang Marvin Gaye, who was shot by his own father. We learn to love one person at a time, then branch out. Fear can work the same way, and fear creates anger. People need people. Screens and chatbots are no answer. Fewer barriers, not more. More diversity, not monoculture. Here's my copyrighted bumper sticker. The opposite of progressive isn't conservative, it's regressive. There are very few conservatives among the Republicans in Congress. Also too few progressives among the Democrats. Yeah, these days when we're losing so much, holding your ground can seem like progress, but it isn't. Progress isn't just one thing, one direction. It's proactive, procreative, open. Change is seldom linear, apparent. Sometimes awareness is frighteningly sudden. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to a fall membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast include Dan Raphael, Doug McVeigh, Sherry Meredith, Anna Wilcox, and Josh Salem. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Sherry Meredith. Special thanks to Isabel Charlet, Brian Bull, Suzanne Potter, and Danielle Smith. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Terrence Burns.
And I'm Anna Wilcox. All our KBOO programs are made possible by support from our members. KBOO